Jennifer.
I need to make one more announcement. As you all take your seats, I've been asked to make one more announcement, please. For the Christmas party on Tuesday night, we're asking everybody to bring a gift, $10 maximum, for the, what do you call it? Secret Santa giveaway, and we need donations of food, right? Food and a $10, maximum $10 gift for the Christmas party. So everybody be here, come enjoy and have a good time.
Please stand with us.
Amen.
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Isaiah the prophet reassured the people, God is sending words of comfort to you, speaking tenderly to you. God promises that your hard labor is over, your sentence has been served, and your penalty has been paid. You are forgiven not once, but double all that is needed.
Go up to a high mountain and call out the good news. Lift your voices up with strength and call out the good news. Do not be afraid. Your God is coming.
Our God is mighty, but our God is also gentle. God loves the flock and will feed it just the way a shepherd would, holding us close like lambs and guiding us old and young.
We wait for God's peace and live in God's hope as we light these candles. And all of us will say, loving God,
come and shine your light in the world. Thank you all very much. Now please hear the invitation to the Lord's table. You may find the liturgy on the screen as well as on page 12 in our hymnals. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, I invite the boys and girls to come forward. I have something I would like to talk with you about. Would you come? It's hot. Yes. I'm glad to see you folks. Last Sunday, we talked about the color purple, that it was a royal color, and that Christ the King is coming soon, but not yet. We have other Christmas colors. This is an Advent color. The Christmas colors are in front of us, and they are gorgeous. We've had so many people decorate this sanctuary. It is so lovely. And people, when they come, they say, oh my, isn't it beautiful? Now, what is one of the colors that you see in all these decorations? What color do you see? They're red. Yes, the bows are red. Red is the color of Christmas. There's another color that you see a lot of. What is it? Yes, green. Oh, look, they're poinsettias. Red and green. These are Christmas colors. All right? Now, throughout all of history, green has been something very special, especially during the winter time. Green was used for centuries, even before Jesus came into the world, to remind everybody, green, evergreen, spring is not that far off. Furthermore, with evergreen, it never turns brown, like those trees and leaves. Thank goodness they're all blown off the lawn for our open house. But they never turn green, evergreen, and that tells us how loving God is always to us. Now, let's talk about red. Red oftentimes is thought about with holly. Holly berries are red, and the holly leaves are green. And many times you look at the holly that has red berries and green leaves, the red is gorgeous. Many times that reminds people of the blood of Jesus who saved us from our sins. But red is a very, very bright color. It sometimes is understood as a hot color as compared with pink, that is a cool color. So we've got a hot red, and that means that the love of Jesus is coming, and it heats up the world with love. So red and green, we have beautiful colors. Now, what colors are those lights? See the lights? White or gold? They look kind of gold. Gold reminds us of one of the gifts of the three kings. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So gold is a Christmas color too. So let's remember we've had three of them to talk about today, and these are also called symbols because they point to something else. So let's keep in mind the colors of Advent, the colors of Christmas. Those colors help us worship. So let's have a prayer. Dear God, thank you for Advent, thank you for Christmas, and thank you for colors that are associated with both seasons of the year. But most of all, thank you for Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from sin, and thank you for your everlasting love. Always you love us. Amen. And thank you all for coming forward. It's good to see everybody. We have a number of persons listed on the bulletin for which we need to be remembering. Let's also remember everyone who is facing this very wonderful season of the year without someone that they love. Seasons are awfully difficult for people after having served loss, after they have suffered loss. So especially at Christmas, Thanksgiving too, all the seasons of the year, but let's be remembering in our prayers those who recently have suffered loss. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Shall we pray? Lord, our hearts are filled with anticipation. Our hearts are filled with excitement. Our hearts are filled with the love of Christ. For this is a joyful season that we're approaching. And here we are in Advent trying to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Christ child. We do this because you love the world so much that you gave Jesus. And we celebrate his coming every year on December 25th. So thank you for loving us. And we beseech you, O Lord, let the Christ child be born once again in our hearts. Let us radiate the love that came from the stable that first Christmas. Though the world was cold and didn't realize what was happening yet, many persons did. The shepherds, they came almost immediately. Sometimes later, the Magi from the east, they came. And Mary and Joseph certainly knew that in the Christ child, the greatest gift the world has ever been given was theirs to look at, to nurture, to cuddle, and to help grow up into adulthood. Let us recognize, O Lord, that there are many persons in different stages of the Christian life who are striving to grow in the knowledge and love of the Christ. And let us, O Lord, find ways to help each other along by saying the good word, by praying, especially for those who have suffered loss this past year. We ask you to show us how best to help others celebrate the coming of Jesus. We confess, O God, that we stay busy, sometimes too busy. Too busy to enjoy what goes on around us. We're going so fast on the interstate, we forget to look to either side to see the blessings that you give us. Such as the beauty of the full moon, not only at night, but also early in the morning. Help us look away from what we're doing, just momentarily sometimes, so that we can catch a glimpse of your manifold blessings right here in the midst of us. We confess also, O Lord, that some of the difficult things in our lives we run away from. We run away because we don't want to deal with tedious issues, hurtful issues. We run away from relationships too, O God, because we don't want to feel the pain that may be rightfully coming our way. These and other sins we confess before you. And we would ask that you would help us deal with our issues, even as we help others deal with their issues. Lord, we pray for the sick, the lonely, the hurting, those facing a dubious future with a diagnosis which is not good. We pray for families of those who are ill. Give them stamina and strength to do all they know to do to help persons where they are with their health or lack thereof. Lord, we pray for this country. We pray for the international situation. We pray for those who simply generate hate and destruction. Lord God, bless us and keep us faithful in our prayers, even as we remember the poor and the lonely right here in our own town. Help us find ways to find more money for the Rockwood Ministerial Association. They, O Lord, are on the front line in our community dealing with folks who are hungry, folks who are needy in other ways. And we, O Lord, who have enough, and perhaps even more than enough, we surely can find ways to help those less fortunate than we through this excellent organization right here in our city. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
There's a spirit in the air.
Service now for the time of giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. I really want to challenge all of us to think very, very sensitively about the mission at Rockwood Ministerial Association. And I want to challenge you to think about how much a meal would cost if you were eating out at a restaurant, either today or sometime this week at Christmas. I dare say most of us will be eating out at some point. And thirdly, I want to challenge you to write a check now to the church, but where it says four, put in that panel RMA. So let's see if we can't knock this out for the Rockwood Ministerial Association. We have opulence, we have abilities to do this. We can make all kinds of beautiful, beautiful food and pastries and everything else for our parties. Do we think for a half a second God doesn't notice that? So let's see what we can do with a mission, which is right in our community. I'm serious, pull out your checkbooks, write a check to the church, and put on their RMA, and let's see if we can turn this around. Will the ushers come forward?
From whom all blessings flow, praise God, all creatures here below.
Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of bliss.
Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit, alleluia.
Accept, O Lord, this money, your tithes, our offerings, and our special offering for the Rockwood Ministerial Association. Use this money. Please further your work through the use thereof. Show us additional ways that we can indeed be in ministry and mission for you and your realm. And we would praise your name and give you all the glory. With what success we may see from our efforts and your inspiration. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture reading for this, the second Sunday of Advent, is found in Mark's Gospel, the very first chapter and the first 8 verses therefrom. So let us hear the word of the Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word from our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. John the Baptizer was quite a phenomenon. I'm telling you the truth, he broke every mold, every expectation, all the regular understandings of what a person in the priestly family should do with religion. Now, he does not break the mold of an Old Testament prophet. And in John, we see a transition from the Old Testament word coming by way of the prophet to Jesus, who is the Son of God, of course. But John the Baptist is, or John the Baptizer, is the transition. And he immediately starts in Mark's Gospel, thought to be the oldest gospel, even though it's the second one listed in the Bible. He quotes Isaiah. And in other Gospels, he quotes Malachi. Another word or translation of Malachi means "my messenger." So the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, and Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, they point to John. A messenger is coming. Now, John's weird. We would more or less write him off if we saw him out here on Gateway or Kingston Avenue. We were just kind of, oh, okay, where's the accelerator pedal? We need to push on a little faster to get away. But in that day, people were very, very tired. Tired of the usual routines of religion. Now, let's keep in mind that John's parents, you find this in Luke's Gospel, they were of a priestly family. So John apparently rebels against Zechariah and Elizabeth, his parents. He does not want to enter the priesthood. He does not want to do the usual things in the temple. He takes off for the wilderness. Now he's on his own. And he eats locusts or grasshoppers and wild honey. Furthermore, there's quite a lot of evidence that he is what's called a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite is one who does not clip his facial hair or his hair. It is not clipped. It just simply grows. Now, get it? Get a picture in your mind's eye. Furthermore, he's got leather around his waist. He is very scantily clad. And I doubt he's had a shower for about 30 years. Although he might have gone swimming in the Jordan. You never know. But at the same time, this fella is weird. He's of the priestly class, but chooses not to enter into his dad's profession. Yet, he is a prophet after the mode of Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah. When you read those books, the writing prophets especially, they will tell you just how strange they were. But John is bringing a message from the wilderness. A voice is crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Now that's from Isaiah. Get those rough places smooth. Bring down the hills, lift up the valleys. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. No wonder this is an Advent scripture. Used in the second Sunday of Advent, we are here to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, as I said last Sunday, in our culture, we want to jumpstart Christmas. We jumpstarted it before Halloween. But we're not ready. We're not ready. Why? Let me see if I can use a metaphor all of us understand. Have any of us finished a sumptuous meal? I mean, we've gone into seconds. And we get bigger and bigger here. And sleepier and sleepier here, because the sugar's hitting our bloodstream and we're beginning to go to sleep. And then out comes dessert. And won't you please have a piece of my chess pie, my pecan pie, my peach pie, my apple pie, my mincemeat pie? Won't you have a piece of that? And what do we often say? I don't know where I'd put it. Been there, done that? Or maybe you'll watch a television show or something and then come back and have the pecan pie heated a la mode. But do you know what we've done? We have filled our stomachs as tightly as possible, probably too tightly, and then there's no room for the good part, the sweet part, the dessert. Not yet. Now, I want to move that analogy about which we are all too familiar, especially these holiday seasons. Let's move it to our spiritual lives, our emotional beings, our soul, if you will. How often it is that we are so filled. Our souls are overflowing. Sometimes that they even leak. And we just burst into tears because we can't do it all. You know what I'm saying? Anybody too stressed these days? You've got more to do than you can possibly get done. And if you're like me, you just sit down and do nothing. Anybody besides me want to confess to that one? Overwhelmed, so much to do. I'm like the little pup that stole the ham hock, dragged it into the closet, and sat there and looked at it because a little pup didn't know on which corner to start chewing. It was so big. Got that image? Many of the times, if not most of the time, our souls are filled to overflowing. Just like our stomachs are after a massive meal, where are we going to put anything else? This is John's message. This is the message of Advent. Clear out the dross. Clear out the schedule that has no purpose, in this case, for the Lord. Clear it out. In John's words, he says, repent. Repent and be baptized. Now, baptism is a very interesting rite, R-I-T-E. Baptism is often seen in pre-Christian times to convert people from pagan religion to the Jewish religion. It's also understood as a cleansing away of the soul, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. But John's baptism is one of repentance. Repentance is no mystery. Repentance means to turn away, change course. When I go back to Kingston to our home, I can either go straight up Gateway or I can turn right and go Highway 70. I have a choice. Usually I like to go Highway 70 because I tend to speed going north on 27. And as you know, our constabulary helps take care of the payment of tires and other expenses. There's not a week that passes that I don't see some of us stopped along that way. So it's 55 or else. It's 55 or else this way, right? My point is I have a choice. And once I'm committed to going north on 27, I can't go east on 70 at the same time. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't go two routes at once. If you can, I want to see you do it. Now, to repent means you're shifting away from your usual ways of doing things. You're turning. You're turning away from, in John's example, from sin. Now, over in Matthew's account, he really gets right. I mean, everybody's coming, you understand. They want to see the spectacle. They want to hear him. And he gets results. Even the religious people, even the people who rule. And he spies them out there. This account's in Matthew's gospel, as I mentioned. And he calls them a brood of vipers, a bunch of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent. Turn away. Now that is our call. Because if we are so full in our souls with our usual way of doing things, what room is there inside of us to celebrate with any kind of sensitivity the coming of Jesus? This is why our culture needs Advent, a season of waiting. Because we jump into celebration of what are you going to get me for Christmas? Or what am I going to get for Christmas? We move into that almost immediately, and we don't take the time to make way for the Christ to be born. We don't make the time to say, what am I going to give for Christmas? It's what I want to get. So the baptism is for the repentance of sins. And then there is another phrase that we need to keep in mind. There's somebody coming, and I'm not even worthy to touch his thong of his sandal. He is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. With fire. Two baptisms. Actually, there are more than two, but we haven't the time to talk about the rest of them. Two baptisms. One is John's of repentance. The second one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if our spirits are so filled with looking after the worldly things around us, so filled with the checklist of what we have to do today, tomorrow, and next week. If our spirits are so focused on this world, how in heaven's name can the Holy Spirit enter us and say, look what I have for you, the love of Christ. So we're to repent of our sins, push out that which we do not need, that which we could place in a secondary or tertiary place in our priorities, and then look for Jesus, the Spirit of the living God. who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, don't be afraid of fire. Fire often is thought about as bad because it burns. But in the scriptures, fire also means the presence of God. Fire also means the purifying of that which is burning. So let's just make the confession. God created us, therefore we are good. But within the metal, M-E-T-A-L, of who we are, there is dross, infirmities. Stuff is kind of mixed up with it. And we need the fire of God to burn off the dross so that we, God's creation, people who God loves, can shine even more brilliantly when baptized with the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We'll continue with the liturgy of the Lord's Supper. You find it on the screen as well as on page 13 in the hymnal. We'll start with a great thanksgiving. This is called a versicle. When I speak and you speak back and so on, that's a versicle. So would you respond to the versicle? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, just a word or two about receiving of the elements. beginning Christmas Eve, when we have a Christmas Eve candlelight service with the sacrament, I should like for us to use the kneeling rails and be dismissed as a table rather than come and go and come and go. And I'll tell you why. I like to be candid with everybody, and especially with the churches I have the privilege to serve. The Lord knows what we do and how we act, what we say. He knows when the sacrament is just a drive-by and then we sit down. The Lord knows when we as a church in different tables kneel at the altar rail in front of the altar. And I think if this church is ever going to reclaim its potential and to move out with ministry and mission, like so many of you mentioned to me, I wish we could do this like we used to, meaning lots of folks. We must change our way of thinking from what used to be to what's in front of us and what's ours to claim in the name of the Christ. And it will happen when the Lord sees all of us a praying church, a kneeling church. And so beginning with Christmas Eve, we'll change the, we'll have ushers to show you when to come. We'll still come down the center aisle and depart and go the side aisles. But we need to have more public prayer here. Then on the first Sunday of January, we'll introduce something really quite different, I'm sure, and it's called John Wesley's Covenant Service. And we will go back to our founder, and we will do what he did in his churches, either New Year's Eve or the first Sunday of the year. Both times, we'll have a chance to kneel at the altar. Now, let me just backpedal a little bit. When we fill up the pews, and when it takes us until 1:30 to finish the tables kneeling here, then we might consider going back for the drive-by communion, if you get my drift. But until then, we need to be a praying church, and I will want us to do this. If you like it so much to come down the aisle and get your little nip of bread and grape juice and sit down, then help us fill these pews. That's when we'll go back. I told you I like being candid. We can do this. Those who come, please, for the